I'm sailing away, free to plot a course on a virgin sea, and I've got to be free, free to live the life that's ahead of me. On the boat, I'm a captain, so come aboard!
Welcome to the Darker Side Podcast, where we delve into the darker side of our existences. The morbid, the macabre, the spooky, and the absurd are all fair games as we discuss murder,
creepypasta,
UFOs,
cryptids,
and the dark depravity of the human soul.
Fuck yeah.
I am David, and with me as always is Forrest, Rachel, and Herman.
What up,
How
y'all?
How are we today, people?
Got chips stuck in my mouth, but I'm good other than that.
And if we're all lucky, Forrest will not chew any more chips while we record this.
It's cool you took them away.
All right, guys. Right up top, what I want to do is I want to say, everybody, thank you for all your downloads, all your listens, all of your love and your likes and everything on Facebook.
Thank you so much, and happy
what
Pride
I want
Month.
To do, yeah, and happy Pride Month. But what I want to do is I want to say, please, if you can, go to Google Play, go to iTunes, and rate us. And review us. We just need some more rates. We need more reviews. Absolutely. We would appreciate it. And it's just going to help us out, get to more people, and build this podcast.
It would warm us right to the cockles of our heart.
Like exactly.
Some kind of
Disney
movie.
In the cockles.
The cockle
and if you have any news ideas that you like and you want to send to us, you can send it to our Facebook page, which is the Darker Side Podcast. Now, Darker Side is spelled darker and side, but the side is like homicide, genocide, matricide.
Yep.
Suicide. It's a suicide. Blah,
so it's Darker Side. CIDE.
You can also rate us there.
Right. And if you have any ideas for creepypastas, any news stories that you want, send it to the Darker Side Podcast at gmail.com.
Please. We will open it up and read the shit out of it.
All right, guys. Are you guys ready to get into this episode?
Hell yeah.
Let's roll.
Fuck yeah.
All right. So today's episode is brought to you by our sponsor, Human Suffering, LLC. From child internment camps on the U.S. border to torture chambers in North Korea, find your misery and embrace it. The Darker Side Podcast wouldn't exist without our sponsors, so please support them. You can find today's sponsor on any look-through on your favorite social media timeline. Now back to your show.
It's so dark in here.
So all right, guys. Well, I've got a little creepypasta here.
Let's do it.
I love the dark, but I hate nature.
I hate nature.
The dark is great. All right, guys. The creepypasta right here is called Those Dreams by a returning creepypasta writer.
Oh.
Ready Lover One, 420.
Nice.
Yeah. He wrote a creepypasta a little while back.
He's a ready lover. Get a hold on you, believe it.
What'd you say he likes to fuck?
He likes to get high and fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
It was late October in my sophomore year of high school. We had just won the big football game against our crosstown rivals. And me and the boys from the team and a slew of other kids from school were going to go out into the woods and celebrate as we always did. After a big win, or a big loss for that matter. I was standing by a fire drinking a beer and laughing really hard at some dumb joke my friend Johnny had told me. Blackness. I'm standing above my town on Dead Horse Hill overlooking downtown. The area is heavy and the wind is blowing hard. The sky is so dark and gray and purple the sun can't penetrate through them. And electricity builds and the hairs on my arms stand up. And in that instant, the skies open up with lightning, thick yellow and red bolts crashing to the ground, one after another, causing the ground, the cars, the shops, and everything it struck to explode. My heart raced and blood pounded in my ears, and I watched my town being destroyed by this unimaginable brutal storm raging below me and around me. I woke in a panic, clenching my chest, gasping for breath, laying in what appeared to be my bed, and I looked around and found the quiet serenity of my well-lived-in bedroom. A little confused as to why I was there, but also completely freaked out about the dream I had just had. After a few minutes, the dream faded away, and the confusion of not knowing how I got to my bed and only remembering the game and the party and John's stupid joke and nothing else. I chalked it up to a blackout. Not that that had always happened much in high school, but they did happen once in a while. I felt a weird pain in my elbow thinking it from a hit sustained in the game last night, and felt a small floating object under my skin. Thought nothing really of it, and went on with the rest of my day, which consisted of being what could only be hungover and laying in a bed watching cartoons. For the next 2 years, I would wake in a panic and sweating profusely from that same nightmare. Sometimes it would be every day for weeks on end, but then it would be one a month, or once every 2 months. Every time I would wake, the pain in my elbow was there, and I would rub the floating object I found in that first night, which after a time, I figured it was a piece of bone or a calcium deposit. After a few minutes, the pain and the feelings of dread and anxiety from the nightmare would fade. I thought about the nightmares often while awake and figured everyone had them, and I would just have to live with them. Eventually, however, I often woke very tired, moody, and depressed, especially after those periods of dreams, every night for weeks on end. My grades slipped and my ambition waned, and eventually I couldn't handle the pressure of football and other activities I loved. I lost friends, and I could never hold down a steady girlfriend. Life was more than dreadful. I was living a nightmare, both asleep and awake.
Was he gay?
I'm sorry. This is,
it's getting really
could,
dense.
Could very well. One day, almost two years to the day from when they started, the dream stopped altogether. As fast as they came on, they left my life. All dread and anxiety left with them. I was able to move on with my existence and flourished into a bright and cheerful person. I also noticed that floating object in my elbow disappeared too.
Oh.
Life was good. Life progressed in a very typical fashion for me. After that 2-year experience, I went on to college and I graduated 4 years later. I eventually landed a solid and decent paying job. I met the love of my life and was married a short time after, and I became a father to 2 amazing children. Life, as great as it was, flew by, and now 20 years has passed. Darkness. I'm standing above my town, Dead Horse Hill, overlooking downtown. The air is heavy, and the wind is blowing hard. Skies so dark gray and purple, the sun can't penetrate them. The electricity builds, and the hairs on my arms stand up. In that instant, the skies open up with lightning, thick yellow and red bolts, crashing to the ground, one after another, causing the ground, the cars, the shops, and everything it struck to explode. My heart raced with blood pounding in my ears, and I watched my town being destroyed as the unimaginable, brutal storm raged below and around me. The nightmares started again, and have come back with a frequency and ferocity unmatched to that of the last time. Again, I am waking up and in a panic and sweating out of control. My wife has grown concerned and often asks me why I'm having the nightmares and what's causing them. And I keep telling her, I don't know. I don't know. Then I figured it out.
Uh-oh.
This morning, I woke in a flash, disoriented and panicked from the nightmare. I sat up in my bed, and at the end of the bed, I noticed in the shadows 2 large black eyes set a sleek gray face staring at me, watching me intensely. In that instant, I knew exactly what I was having. Those dreams. Those were the nights that they would come for me, and that is when the nightmares would start. Yeah.
Fucking A, man. That was a tense. Oh my god, I got the heebie-jeebies right now.
So those are the nightmares that he was hasing. Having.
Hasing.
He was hasing them.
He was hasing.
He was having when they would come to get him. When they would take him away and do whatever they wanted with him.
Oh god.
Good lord.
Hits close to home. It's like you described my first marriage.
My past life straight marriage, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, good lord. Well, that's a creepy pasta corner, everybody.
Listen, I love you, Ready Lover. Keep smoking and fucking.
Yeah, Ready that Lover was a crazy-ass story. Thank you, Ready Lover 1420.
You got it. All right, guys, we're going to get on with the darker side news stories. Today we got a couple news stories from Rachel and Forrest, and I think we're going to go with Rachel's first today.
Cool.
Flip of the coin.
Nice. So... everyone knows that in the sports world going on, it's a big thing.
All the wicked spots that are going on, dude.
Called the World Cup.
Hell yeah.
Football or soccer, as us Americans like to say.
Football.
So, this is a BuzzFeed article, which is always fun.
Yep.
Titled, Mexico fans cause a literal earthquake after their team's World Cup win.
What? Dude, it's crazy how much this earthquake was.
Yep, posted on June 17th.
Wow.
Yep, ecstatic soccer fans in Mexico City were so damn happy after their team scored a clutch single goal to win their World Cup opening match and deliver a shocking upset to Germany on Sunday that they literally shook the earth.
Yes.
Clutch.
At 10:34 a.m., crowds back home erupted and went so wild that their mass jumping triggered about a magnitude 3 quake.
That's a fucking quake and a half.
That's crazy. Did anyone die?
No.
It just registered all of them jumping up and down from happiness.
Yeah.
Think about that one stadium in all 40, 50, 70, 80,000, however many people were in that crowd.
It collapsed?
All jumping. No, it didn't collapse. It just registered as a
point. So the University of Ohio's record, and correct me if I'm wrong, is about 1.5.
Wow.
They had to reinforce the horseshoe because of the craziness of those. Oh my God, I said University of Ohio. I'm so sorry. Ohio State.
Yes, John.
Ohio State, the Buckeyes.
Fucking Buckeyes, dude.
Oh, man. Sorry.
There's a difference.
Go Michigan.
No. Oh, no. All right. Yeah, if you're a Tom Brady fan, but if you grew up in a household who came from Ohio, Ohio, you don't say anything bad about the Buckeyes, dude.
Your NFL teams are so bad. Just so bad. You gotta pick what you can.
The color is very appropriate for how bad that they are.
I come from the Eagles.
The Browns. Yeah, well, we're not going to talk about the Eagles for us. All right. What else, Rachel?
So the instruments measured by the Mexico's Institute of Geological and Atmospheric Research. The instruments measured the movement reaching out about 16 kilometers from the city center.
You almost did a spit take.
Almost do a spit take.
What was that all about?
How many kilometers again?
Wait, why don't we just include all this?
16 kilometers.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah, so
it's like almost 20 miles.
Yeah, three, so just gonna carry the one.
It's over 20 miles.
It is.
Take me.
So 10K is 6 miles, and then 6K would be, it's like 13 miles.
That's still, it's quite impressive.
Oh, God, this wine is so good.
Yes.
So, but I guess this happens quite frequently. About 30 years ago, scientists recorded a similar phenomenon during an incredibly tense football match between Louisiana State and Auburn, earning LSU's now historic play the name the Earthquake Game.
Interesting. Yep. I've always heard that, and I never understood what it was about.
Yep.
LSU was a dank team.
Yeah.
Those guys are great.
And this type of event also occurred during the 2011 NFL playoff game between the Seattle Seahawks and the New Orleans Saints.
Makes sense.
Two teams nobody cares about.
Which, except for those people who live in those general areas.
They don't even care
Seattle
about
New Orleans.
They just care about New England.
The sub-headline of this article, and I find this quite fitting, is it says, the power of sports, y'all.
The power of sports compels you.
Of sports.
Oh, I think it's amazing that if we, like little worker ants, if we put all our bodies in the same motion, we can create an actual seismic.
Oh, God.
Yep.
An actual seismic event on this planet. It's amazing. Enough of us jump up and down, we can shake the earth.
Oh, that's scary.
Crazy.
That's how the destruction of California is going to happen.
Yeah.
We should time it so everyone on the planet jumps at the same time.
That would be cool.
That would be virtually impossible to happen, but I mean, how rad would that be?
I mean, Jersey would come off the
fuck holding
place.
Hands across the world. Let's everybody jump and see what happens.
Goodbye, New Jersey.
You know, it'd be like if we all jumped up, right? And if, you ever watched Dr. Pimple Popper on the Facebooks or whatever, if we all jumped up at the same time and landed, all the magma and everything would come up like a giant
magma.
Like a giant big old pimple being popped.
That'd be absolute chaos. I think jump for chaos.
That would be sweet. Forrest, what do you got for a news story for us, buddy?
Okay.
you got a real good one here.
This is really gross.
It's fucking awesome.
I love meat, though. I do love eating meat.
Oh. Vegetarians.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Pottles are vegetarians.
I don't mind eating
but
meat.
But I still like this story a lot.
I mean, I love the sausage. Don't, I'm not going to lie.
I miss the sausage.
You miss the sausage.
All day long.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I miss the pig. I love the pig, but I miss the pig.
This guy served his friend's tacos made from his own amputated leg.
Oh, so good.
How did this even happen?
He destroyed it in an accident.
And what, kept it?
Well, the doctors actually let him keep it, right?
They give you the option. You have to sign a paper, and it says whether they can keep it or not. And
it also depends on where you live and et cetera, et cetera.
Like, what if you went to someone's house and, you know, you saw like this thing in there and you're just like.
Jeffrey Dahmer served penis sandwiches. I mean.
Oh, I bet they were so good.
Yeah.
He was a fucked up gay serial killer.
Read some more of the story.
He was
here.
A fucked up.
I wouldn't even call him gay. He's just fucked up.
No, he was gay.
No, he was gay.
He was totally gay.
He was gay.
He just,
gay.
You know, he was your serial killer.
He was my
he
serial
was your
killer.
People's serial killer.
He was so happy. Was
although, serial. Although to be fair, a lot of the serial killers out there are very.
But he hated
open
him.
Sexually.
He hated himself, and that's also why he got angry.
Yeah, you know. That's why people do stupid things when they hate themselves.
Kill no, people. That's why he drank.
Yeah, that's why he drank. Right, exactly.
Drink their blood.
No, he just drank a lot of booze.
Booze.
He drank a
drank
lot
drank the
of booze.
Brain juice. All right.
Can you get through this, Art?
Yeah, keep going.
Friends, this is off of, sorry, going off of wokesloth.com.
Yeah, woke sloth. You ever read her? That stuff, she's cool. Woke Sloth.
Woke Sloth?
Yeah.
Woke Sloth.
Her picture's cool.
The pictures are cool. I'm going to post it on our website later. Friends like the ones Reddit user Incredibly Shiny Shart.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm fucking sorry.
You can polish a shart, I guess.
Yeah.
we finally cracked the code.
I'm sorry, guys. Okay. Incredibly Shiny Shart has are hard to come by. Friends that will, quite literally, eat your flesh for fun.
I mean, I do it.
I heard that one of the women. I heard that one of the people was one of his ex-girlfriends, too. She invited her over. And
what if they didn't tell him? Like, this is just meat from a cow.
I don't know. Was he open about it, or was he?
Let's see here. A couple of years ago, 38-year-old Shiny, who prefers to remain anonymous, was hit while riding his motorcycle. His foot was so shattered, doctor said he'd never walk on it again.
Just exploded. I mean, you can. I think there's a picture of his.
I still think he needs a second opinion. So I've never gone to a doctor and be like, we got to take the foot. It's like, nah, fuck you. I'm going to go somewhere else.
So he had to get it amputated, obviously. But
there's only so much they could do medically, John.
Brigham and Women's could tape that thing right back together.
So I guess according. They didn't say really why. But they're saying they let him keep it. I'm guessing it has to do with the hospital policy.
Yeah. It would have to be with that and any type of release, et cetera. So.
It could also have to do with private affiliations, too. But 3 weeks after his accident in the summer of 2016, Shiny invited 10 friends to brunch. According to Vice, which is a very credible news source, who interviewed our boy. I got interviewed by Vice. They're great interviewers.
You did, Forrest, and that was so sweet. You were so cute, and you were so passionate.
The guy was really nice. He wanted
check it out. Look up. Was it college predatory loans / Vice / Forrest Smith?
Vice News. It. Yeah, I had a reporter come out. He was so nice.
Yeah, you're actually in there full length.
He was cute too.
All right, go back. Sorry.
I'm sorry. He was really cute.
He's so dreamy.
As they say on, you know, heavy metal over six pack.
He had me FaceTime.
We
him.
Digress.
Cool. let's see here. According to Vice, who interviewed the boy. They ate apple strudel, quiche, puff pastries, fruit tarts, and chocolate cake. They drank gin lemonade, punches, and mimosas.
Sounds good.
That's so classy.
Sounds like
that does sound like a classy brunch.
That sounds like a wonderful brunch.
What a nice brunch. Did they have tea and strumpets? That's the other question.
I mean, I'm sure it was available, John. I mean, you can't have a fucking brunch without tea and strumpets. Are you shitting me, dude?
There was definitely a slice of cantaloupe at the end.
Yeah, get that out of here. It's not a brunch without that
watermelon.
Shit, dude.
Don't forget watermelon.
Yeah, and watermelon.
To be fair to you, Forrest, I did hear a gentleman in an interview call it Worder last night.
Where is he from?
The South. Like way down south. He was also very religious, but he was talking about a water main break, and he said the water down. He said Worder.
Yeah,
and I'm
south,
like, oh my God, Forrest.
But was he way down yonder on the Chattahoochee?
Yeah.
You gotta realize, though, like Southwest and Southeast Pennsylvania and Southwest New Jersey are
it's south. It's
the South. Everyone's Hicks the there. They're Democrat Hicks, but they're nice.
they're Hicks. I
mean, to all my non-Hick friends in the South, I apologize. But Forrest's opinions are not necessarily those of Dark Side Podcast.
No.
Just live in the South for more than a year.
But
John.
That's how South Jersey is.
He
it's
did.
It's, South Jersey is not... South Jersey is not like New England, and it's very
no,
different.
It's not. It's definitely not. And go further south to North Carolina and anywhere down
Kentucky.
There. Kentucky. And you're, you'll see with the South. South are beautiful people. They're wonderful people. We're not judging the South. But it's a different beast.
Than well, the North, I went sure. to Kentucky for a weekend and I felt extremely uncomfortable, but that was my experience.
I hear that the South's going to rise again, but I think it's just because they've been baking so much bread for so long that they're just this is going to rise again.
Well, now they got their hemp. Hemp just got legal by Congress.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thanks. That's what the South needs, a mint julep of hemp.
Yeah.
I mean, I do declare it is stoned in here.
And then the main course came out. Fajita tacos. This sounds fucking amazing. I'm sorry, guys.
Delicious.
Fajita tacos made from Chinese severed human limb.
But did he
barbacoa?
What we want to know, what we want to know for us at this point is, do they know yet?
Let me see here.
I think that's what we all want to know, right?
Yes.
That's the question. Were they volunteers?
What I want to know is, why the fuck are you serving goddamn tacos at a brunch?
You're right. That's ghost.
That is so like.
There is.
You need charcuterie? A crudité?
I'm not going to lie, guys. I'm not going to lie. I went to New London for brunch.
Not going
to
lie. If he did say it four times
we have
in a row,
to drink.
Everybody.
We have to fucking
I'm
drink,
I'm not
going to
lie. I don't Cheers, have a beer. All right, hold on. Time out.
Yeah.
So just to start, cannibalism is not a federal offense in the United States.
It's not.
And it shouldn't be states' rights. Am I right? Meat is murder, but not in this case.
So, yeah, right.
Meat is just amputation.
He offered it up.
Sorry, guys. Outside of Idaho.
I actually used to live in Utapimp, Idaho.
Utapimp,
Idaho. It was a great, great town.
He's the funniest kid ever.
That probably would be a town.
Herman, that's H-E-R-R-M-A-N-N, T-M circled.
Outside of Idaho, where the act of eating human can land you in prison, whether said human gave consent or not. There are no laws prohibiting it.
The pirates used to call it long pig.
The long pork, man.
The long
pig. Yeah, you take the cut right off the inside of the thigh of a human.
You just slow roast that on it's, the dude, spit, you, let all you, the what juices do you
think
really.
Hold on here. What do you think a pork loin is?
I don't really care for pork loin.
It's the best part of the pork. Are you fucking
really
kidding
is.
Me?
Like, I guess.
No, the best part of the pork is right in the face. The little medallions
right
in the cheek.
Eyes.
Oh my God, it's so good.
They're so good, and I hate the fact that I love it.
The eyes just burst in your mouth like jelly, and then there's that crunchy
haven't
little.
Haven't
like...
had meat in over a year.
So, in 49 states, this kind of process states they remain as kosher, so it's legal.
Cool. Well, I mean, even human.
What is that one state? I'm
I believe
curious.
The human is not kosher.
They're not saying what
Unless
the one
is
state
blessed
is.
Blessed by a rabbi. Do they get a rabbi to bless his foot?
Hell yeah, fucking A, man.
What is the other Jewish thing other than kosher? What is it? It's another religion that it will bless it like a kosher.
In his Reddit post, he said, it tasted like buffalo,
yes,
but chewier.
He cooked it wrong.
Super beefy.
It's foot meat, John.
Super.
You slow roast. You put it in a crock pot until it's tender and it falls apart. You make a little barbacoa foot.
Tap out.
Just season it. Season it with nice chilies from fucking New Mexico or some shit.
He continues and says, super beefy and little fat.
Yeah. I bet it is.
Little
it
fat,
is.
But I mean, if you look at the x-rays, it looked quite swollen, so...
Stop hitting the table.
Too much blood. Too much blood.
Yeah,
he didn't drain
blood.
It right.
They really aren't saying if they knew it or not, but I'm guessing they didn't because they're calling him an experimental cannibal. So I'm guessing he did an experiment on them, and they did not know, and that's gross.
Well, calling him an experimental cannibal is fucking ridiculous.
Well, is he consuming his own foot meat?
I mean, experimental cannibal is going to be the title of my
Why
first
not?
Punk album.
Yeah.
Right. But,
or was he trying to be like that dude from The Walking Dead? But that I was think, like, you got the tainted meat.
But what I think is, I mean, giving him that label is just ridiculous. It's like, oh, we're going to put a label on him, but he was an experimental
Everybody tries to label
cannibal.
Everybody.
Yeah, he's like stupid.
Okay, so going further, if you guys want to know a little bit more, from a doctor's standpoint, most hospitals have policies where they will release your body parts to you because of some religions
mm-hmm.
where
some...
you have to be buried whole. Mm-hmm. So I just signed the paperwork.
Good for him.
Oh, word, yeah.
Because I would do the same. I'm very pissed off that I do not have my circumcision. I do not.
God damn it,
and
David.
And I do not have my inner ear bone. I'm very pissed off about those two things.
Oh, I bet. I'm sorry.
And the aliens took the one that was in my elbow.
Every piece of me that has fallen off or whatever, I am so glad that
I'm sorry.
It was all garbage and I didn't need it anyway.
Right when you think...
Like your tonsils.
Fuck my tonsils. Fuck all that stuff. I don't want any of that shit. My body didn't want it. Why the fuck would my... I don't want to look at it.
Put it
in a jar and stick it in the fridge. Like, check out my shitty thing that didn't work.
This got phallical quickly, huh?
I like phallical.
Okay, so this story
that means penis.
Yeah, it's like a 60s
Thank
term,
you,
right?
Rachel.
But I mean, every time I hear it, I think of a girl named Felicity, and I'm like, your name is basically just phallus.
Yeah, except with a T at the end.
Phallus itty.
So Dave,
yeah, so
I,
the feminine phallus.
Phallus titties. The best thing. That's so much fun. That's so much. I've always enjoyed introducing my phallus to titties. It's fantastic.
Oh, jeez.
I'm sorry to all my relatives.
Titties.
Okay. So, by the way, I want to thank you because this article is very well written. They grouped it.
You're
so
welcome. I slaved over a hot keyboard for hours. I introduced Shiny and
to my fans. I usually do. I usually look up mine, but this was not mine. And thank you.
Okay.
On not being weirded out by his amputated foot. So apparently his four friends that were with him, he's saying it was all surreal. We picked it up and were playing with it. It didn't seem like it was a foot. It just seemed like an object, not a piece of a person.
What do you think what kind of like suspension of belief or disbelief do you do every time you eat an animal?
Wouldn't you just take it like kick a soccer ball with it? Like, hey, check it out,
dude.
Pass it to you.
If Forrest, if you cooked up,
or like
you,
hacky sack, I want that for hacky sack. I'm like, poof.
If you barbecued, if you lost your foot and you barbecued it up right now, I guarantee you, I would go against all my vegan principles and eat that piece of meat.
You would eat my meat.
Yeah, only because, my. Because you gave me consent to eat that meat.
If I
would try the shit out of it.
I mean, to be fair, if you cooked it right, I would also like just slow roast it. It's pork. Think of it like pork.
That's just but I see it as like that's like seeing like that guy in Virginia who's saying like dads have the right to sleep with their daughters.
That's a little different. That guy's a
right. So we don't sleep with children. We don't do anything to harm the children.
No.
The Christians believe in this Jesus person who also said the same thing.
Yeah.
But children are off limits. Animals are off limits.
Yeah.
If me, you, goats. Rachel, and Herman consented to this.
To a piece of my meat.
I would,
just a piece.
Depending on what kind of meat it was. I don't want your meat, my friend.
Just the tip.
I'm sorry, guys.
I don't want your spicy.
I walked right into that.
Spicy sausage. I don't want any of that.
Oh, God. I'm laughing inside. But I'm tapping out of this story because we just read everything we needed to read. So there's more online, guys.
That's a good one. Yeah, definitely take it up. It's a fun story.
God.
I just like that the dude's name is Shiny. Who names a dude Shiny?
Yeah, go to Reddit. You'll find a lot of interesting names.
Oh, he's Shiny. He's Shiny Bag of Donuts.
He
or
made
whatever.
Himself like an online persona, and he's Shiny.
Oh.
And Vice goes by that.
Well, Forrest, that was quite the extensive. We did a lot of riffing and fun off of that.
Hey, that was a great story, and I'm sure they're going to make this into a movie.
Yeah.
Horror movie.
I think it would be. Oh, good Lord.
Awful.
They did. I think it was called Manhunter.
It would be a horror comedy, in my opinion. It would be hilarious, but awful.
All right, guys. Well, that was the Darkest Side News Stories. Again, thank you, Rachel and Forrest, for your...
I'm shaking.
Some really good really good news stories. Fun times.
We really got to the meat of that, I
feel. We shook the earth. And yeah, we got the
really,
meat.
I feel like we went out
we
on foot
down.
And got to the meat of the story, and I applaud
bones.
You for it.
Yeah.
And I gave you all my meat.
Yeah, we sucked on the bones. I mean, we really got into that. It was fantastic. Real, so real juicy story. Real meaty. Real delicious. All right, I loved it. Thank you.
Nice, thank you.
All right, guys, we're going to get into the Darker Side movie review. This week, we are reviewing the movie I, Not Robot.
Tanya.
But Tanya.
It's Tanya.
It's just, Tawny.
Tawny.
I have so much opinion about this movie.
You haven't even seen it.
I haven't even seen it because I know a lot of about the production.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. I mean, you have to literally watch the end results. But
they really should have had a little person playing the role of the little person.
What?
I feel like that's height shaming.
What are you talking about?
What?
There was
what, David?
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. Herman, yeah, the little person that was in the movie.
The little person was not an actual little person. They just made him kneel. It was like Lieutenant Dan. It was embarrassing.
Forrest wouldn't know because he didn't watch the movie.
It was embarrassing.
I'm very sorry to my doctor, Dr.
And
Siders.
Shaquille O'Neal was the worst choice for that.
I will
dude,
be watching
Shaq
this ASAP.
Should have never been in I, Chanya.
Yeah, no.
So, hold on.
Shaq Fu was a good movie, but I mean,
Shaq
come on.
Fu was awesome.
Oh, let's go to the ratings.
All right, so in 2018... In 1991, talented figure skater Tanya Harding becomes the first American woman to complete a triple...
Can I borrow this? You're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Dateline, 1991. Talented figure skater Tanya Harding becomes the first American woman to compete a triple axel during a competition. In 1994, her world comes crashing down when her ex-husband conspires to injure Nancy Kerrigan, a fellow Olympic hopeful, in a poorly conceived attack that forces the young women to withdraw from the national championship. Harding's life and legacy instantly become tarnished as she is forever associated with one of the most infamous scandals in sports history.
Dun, 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 dun.
I mean, like, I was four and I remember hearing about this. You know what I mean?
Like, so I'm guessing you... okay, so I can kind of get what your impression is of this movie by now.
Well, no, I mean, this movie is based off of the real events that happened during the 94 Olympics,
dude. I've read all about it.
So, I mean, this actually got a 7.5 on IMDb's.
Wow.
It has a... when the fuck did Facebook get a review?
Facebook now has reviews?
Yeah, 4.8 out of 5 on Facebook.
Well,
fuck that.
Thank you, Facebook.
Yeah, thank you for hosting our Facebook page, but...
What?
Fuck you, Facebook.
You don't think that's fair?
I think the Gummy Bear song got a 5 out of 5 on the Facebook page.
But Rotten Tomatoes got a 90%, and that makes it what, Rachel?
Totally fresh.
Oh, fuck yeah. So I'm guessing Rotten Tomatoes was kind of right on the right line then.
Yeah, it was directed by a Craig Gillespie. Box office was 48.3 mils USD.
That's good.
And it got some awards and nominations. And I'm going to go right out of the gate here, and I'm going to say I mother effing love this movie. I loved it. I loved every stinking thing
about
it.
The shooting looks amazing.
I'm trying to keep my... Every time I say a swear in my house, now I owe my kid a dollar. So
I owe your kid $50.
But I love this movie. I literally, from the jump, as soon as you see the first shot, you see it.
It's artistic.
No, it is so good, dude. The cuts,
long
you're
takes?
Missing out.
Is there long
so
takes?
Much, not even long takes. There's no,
oh,
like,
I've heard there's long takes in it.
No, Forrest, you just have to watch it.
Oh, yeah, don't. Okay. Don't assume anything you've read about it until you watch it.
Right.
Long takes are good, though.
Oh, they are. They're great.
But again, don't assume anything until you
you're
see it.
You're a long take.
Okay.
The cuts, I mean, the cuts, certain aspects of it are like very documentary style.
Like, oh, yep. I see. Like,
and some of them are very film. I mean,
cinematography.
It's multicam, you know, or single cam work. It's really, really...
For...
It was done like the 90s. What was cool about it
was
a movie about the 90s that was done like the 90s. It was
the soundtrack was like the 90s.
The soundtrack was definitely like
very
the 90s.
Good soundtrack.
It borrowed from the 60s, and it also used the soundtrack as its own little character.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you watched the movie, if you watched...
That's awesome.
If you watched this as a movie in the 90s,
yeah,
they would have used the soundtrack. Like that. That's what I think that's what John's saying, is
that's
it was
awesome.
Very 90s appropriate style movie too, as well,
okay.
Other than the 90s story.
I might have to watch it then.
Anytime you throw the chain by Fleetwood Mac in, you know it's going to be a good movie.
Yeah, and that's at a very pinnacle part in the
it
story.
It sure is.
It's a very, very...
What I like about the scene, this, what do you call it, the cuts?
The angles, yeah.
Yeah, and the breaking the wall.
She yeah, the
During
fourth wall.
They
the
broke
fourth
the wall.
Wall. She broke the fourth wall.
They broke the wall.
A couple
Actually,
of
all
the
of them
yeah,
did.
Yes, in a documentary style
that's
setting
a,
that
awesome.
Is referring to flashbacks.
Yeah, well, the
it's very interesting.
So that sounds like a good choice.
The cinematography. The cinema. Yes.
The cinnamon toast crunch, which is fucking amazing.
The cinematography.
So what they would do is they would go into the documentary style, and then they would go into the film or movie style.
Really?
Yeah. So it would go from one to the other. So they would be telling the story documentary style, but then they would cut to a scene, like Yeah, like cinematography style, like in a film.
It's a 2-hour film, so it's a first-hour documentary, or is it just like the first 10 minutes?
Again, you won't know until you watch it.
Oh, jeez.
You're missing out, man.
The film student over here didn't watch the film for the darker side.
The film student who requested this film specifically, I gave up my turn for you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I also gave up my turn for you.
Who would absolutely blow his load over this fucking movie.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. You can spare the movie.
Outside of the story for us, it is a genius film masterpiece.
I've done research on it before.
Yeah, but your research I haven't seen it yet. Blind.
All
right, so
I used to do all kinds of research.
So
on
we all know the story of Tanya. We all know the story of Tanya. We all know
a lot of people dislike this movie.
Well, a lot of people. Yeah, because Nancy Kerrigan, fucking America's sweetheart.
It paints Tonya Harding in a good light. Like, it makes her an actual person, and I think that folks that had that narrative of Nancy Kerrigan being America's sweetheart, and quite frankly, Dave pointed out earlier, Massachusetts sweetheart.
Yep.
I mean, growing up in Massachusetts, I had this preconceived notion that Tonya Harding was a fucking redneck piece of shit. She was always going to be the biggest loser in the world.
Really?
But then what I realized is that she was a fucking human, and she had all this shit happen to her.
She had a lot of baggage.
The movie doesn't... It gives you the fact that maybe she had something to do with it, and it gives you, like, this light that, like, it still makes you question... Did she or did she not know what was going on?
Yeah.
And the part of me that's empathetic goes, she didn't know what's going on.
Well, the movie looks fucked up.
Dude, and then the part of me, the cynical part of me goes, she fucking knew? What a bitch. But then you're like, there's so much about this.
You kind of hate her, but you love her type of deal.
I think I loved her from the beginning. This woman literally grew up in the most abusive life I've ever seen.
That's not her fault.
And she excelled... Like no other person has ever. She grew up with $0, zero love,
zero education,
and like literally nobody to support her, but became the first female woman to ever do what is it? The triple axel
in competition.
It was like when Tony Hawk spun that 1080 on the ramp.
Dude, that was some fucking. That was epic.
1998 or whatever.
Everything that we've been doing for years on Tony Hawk Pro Skater, he does it in real life. It's fucking amazing. But she did it. She fucking nailed it.
I'm so proud of her.
And the only reason that she could never rise above is because she grew up in a poor house.
Yeah.
She didn't have the flash and the flair that every fucking rich girl.
All the stereotypes.
You know, the Kerrigans out there. Not to bash them or anything, but.
Kerrigan, they were just fortunate
Kerrigan
to have that.
She came from money.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't blame the victim here. I mean, not at all. I'm not blaming the victim. Absolutely the victim. No. And it did crush the rest of her skating career. But she was pretty harsh on Saturday Night Live.
But what if Tonya Harding really didn't know about this? That's what this is what the movie makes you think. It makes you realize that this is a human being.
She had a big part in this movie, didn't she?
No, but yeah, but the movie, but the actual
we're talking
event.
About
the incident.
And they say the incident, the quote-unquote incident.
I don't know.
They
I
make a joke out of that theme, the incident.
Well, that, and they, like, cut to each character.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't know what happened during this, Forrest? So here,
he wasn't even born yet.
Yeah, I know. This is true. This is very true. So in 1993, was it 93 or 94?
I was born in 93.
91.
It was in 91.
I wasn't even born yet. My older sister was.
No, in 94. It was 94 that... In 1994...
hot.
So Nancy Kerrigan and Tonya Harding were...
Number one and two. They were the U.S.
Or 1, 3, 4, whatever. It depends on, you know, whatever competition they were in. And at one point, Tonya is like, she's at the top of her game. And then all of a sudden, she gets a threat. Uh-huh. An officer comes and says, we have a threat that if you, Tonya, perform in this competition, she's going to get 2 to the back.
A cop said that?
Yeah, told her.
Are
that
you
they
fucking
got a threat.
Serious?
So
they received a threat.
This is 100% legitimate. This is real. This is what really happened. And then what happens is a spiraling game.
It just
because the fat boy in this movie, what is his name? Sean?
Yeah.
The fucking intrigue and like the spy guy.
In
he's
the
like,
trailer, the movie looks like it gets really weird.
It does because this gentleman, Sean, basically he's her security guard.
Yep.
is her husband's best friend, and he's a bumbling fucking moron.
Yeah.
And so what the husband and this idiot Sean, who's the husband?
Jeff Galuli.
Jeff. So Jeff is all, he's like, all he wants is like her to get, you know, when she's doing good, their marriage is okay. Yep, because literally she's a fucking whipping post otherwise.
Yeah.
She just gets beat around. And it's a horrible relationship. Watch it. No human being should have to fucking suffer and live through this way. But it happens every day across America.
Was she abusive in the movie?
Everyone was abusive in this movie.
Okay.
The only thing about this movie was tons of abuse.
Yeah.
There's so many different levels. This fucking movie is an onion forest.
Mental illness.
It is an onion. There are so many different things that you could pull out of this movie.
Wow.
So good. I haven't seen a movie like this in a long time.
I don't want to sound like your ninth grade history teacher, but do your homework.
I'm probably gonna watch it tonight.
And then eventually, what happens is Nancy Kerrigan, the woman from Massachusetts, the skater who was also like one, they were one and two.
She keeps beating Tanya Harding, though Tanya Harding's better. But she's
a better skater. Yeah, it's the background, and all the judges know that.
Nancy Kerrigan's your typical skater, like she's your typical like little tutu wearing princess, and Tanya Harding like puts out the cigarette and like shuts off the AC/DC and goes out and jams a triple axel, comes back and pounds three beers, and then goes back out and does it again.
Wearing a suit that she made herself and didn't spend $10,000 on. But what happens is right before the Olympics this year, like in 1994, in 96 was the right before the Olympics, Nancy Kerrigan gets smashed. Like full on Guido Italian rough, you know, like tough
they
guy.
Take one of those telescoping
and just smash batons.
Retractable baton.
Retractable baton, which you can buy at 5-Eleven Tactical for about $12.
Right.
Wow.
They don't sponsor the show, but if you need a telescoping baton to beat up a figure skater, it's a good place to go.
or a gay person. You
I do not advocate using these on gay people.
The people think of that.
Yes.
All right. Thank you for bringing it to the darker side for us.
It's the sadder side now.
It is the sadder side. But, so Nancy Kerrigan gets her knee blown out by this goon.
Oh, God.
And then we all find out eventually it all comes back to her bodyguard, who was being paid by her
ex-husband
to basically, what they were going to do is send letters to Nancy Kerrigan originally. Hypothetically, quote-unquote, letters to Nancy Kerrigan.
They're going
to
send threatening letters, and then, like, the dude went rogue and just beat the shit out of her with a baton. Yeah, Hobson and El Camino
He had his operatives. His operatives. If you look at interviews like with these people or you watch the movie, these people are I will repeat it, a bumbling fuck. I mean,
but because of this, she can never... She was banned from all... figure skating competition.
Really?
For life.
Oh my God.
Doesn't matter. No competition.
Her career was done.
She had one skill. I mean,
that was it. She spent her life.
She didn't get figure skating. She didn't get a high school GED. Nope. Nothing.
So why is she doing that?
Her mom pulled her out of school.
Eventually, she was on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, she was.
She did that
quite well, right?
Yeah, she did.
Oh my God.
She did some wrestling or no,
yeah, lady boxer.
She was. Yeah, she's lady boxer.
She was a fucking killer fighter, dude.
Well, yeah, she fought her whole life.
She had been beating her entire life. She could take a fucking punch like the best of them,
like a sucker.
Punch a cow in the fucking head, and that's like. Punch Nancy Kerrigan. Tanya Harding in the head, and it would be the same exact thing, dude. She took far too many blows for a person to ever have to take in her life.
Wow.
But watch it. I mean, it is layered, dude. It's like a seven-layer fucking bean dip, dude.
It was a movie that was...
like a seven-layer fucking burrito.
I'm going to see it as soon as possible. The one thing I did notice, though, because I did want to see it in theaters, it was out for a very long time, I noticed that it got... the critics preferred this movie way higher than, like, the regular viewers, like, you know, people like you and me going to the theater.
Well, because the regular viewers were sold a story, right? They were sold this, like, this little...
hour story.
Little princess who got her ass kicked, and she did, and I'm not going to take that away from her.
Yeah, we were talking
about
it earlier,
like,
man.
She, this little princess got her... She was the darling of America, got her ass kicked by this thuggish trailer trash girl, and that's... that's the story. So you shake that at its foundations in a movie, and people are like, that's not how it happened.
Well, in 1994, I was living in Massachusetts, and damn. I was of the age. I was
in California.
So it would have been in February, right, of 94?
Yeah, you were 16.
Right. So, no, I was 14 at the time. I hadn't reached 15 yet, but I was 14 years old. I was living in Massachusetts. Nancy fucking Kerrigan was Massachusetts fucking golden girl. Mm. She was going to the fucking blah-bitty-blah Olympics for America.
It was Seoul, wasn't it?
And she was for Massachusetts.
That's amazing.
She was the golden girl, right? I couldn't think any bad about this woman.
Dude.
In my heart of heart, all I could think of was Tonya Harding is the worst person ever. And what happened is I got in tribalism, national, local opinion. Tribalism.
Mass opinion, too.
Affected me as a child. Of course, I'm only 14. I'm still like, you know, I'm trying to figure out the world and trying to figure out myself, my community, my tribe.
Yeah.
I'm like Massachusetts. And then you don't know. Yeah. What fucking Tonya Harding went through.
So do you know what this movie didn't talk about? Was how Jeff Galooly released the video that her and Tonya shot on their wedding night.
Oh.
What?
They didn't include that in the movie?
They did not include that in the movie, but it is on the internet if you want to see it.
Oh,
it's wonderful.
Of their wedding night?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is it a sex tape?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, I've seen the sex tape.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
I swear to God.
Who doesn't want to watch a skinny, southern, blonde-haired person have sex on her wedding night?
The last time I saw a video like that, it was like the leaked Kevin Federline video.
Why would happen in that one?
With Britney Spears.
Oh, K-Fed Spears?
I was like 13 years
old.
This
was before she shaved her head.
I was an innocent little child.
I only like her after.
Forrest, I have an honest question. Do they ever have any like leaked homosexual...
I don't think so.
They don't have any like league gay celebrities.
I think they like just pay whoever.
Well, they're fucking smart, is what they are.
there's honor among thieves.
They're rich and they pay off, or they have sex and they pay off their paparazzis. I don't fucking know.
No, I mean, but what they are is smart.
They pay them off and they probably fuck the shit out of them.
And everybody has a good time and walks
or
away.
Or they
happy.
Probably just don't record it.
I mean, you can't.
Probably the easiest way to do it.
We all knew Jeff released that video. He had that video in his spank bank, and he's like, you know what I can get money for is this thing.
Because I'm not going to lie, that Kevin Federline video, it was sloppy as fuck.
Dude, every celebrity sex video you've ever watched, whether it's Pam and fucking Tommy, Pam and Tommy Lee, I've seen them all. They're all ridiculous. You want more because there's no production value.
Have you ever been in your right mind when you're like, let's shoot this on film? Like, no, you gotta be three sheets to win.
I was a young innocent child.
You did a bunch of blow, and you're like, you know, I got a great idea.
I was a young innocent child, and my friend sent me the link to download it on LimeWire or whatever.
LimeWire.
Yeah.
It took 16 hours to download, and it was a picture.
It was grainy and pixelated.
Yeah.
It was like a wide shot of the whole room. It was just awful.
But good Lord. Oh, man. I had something to say about celebrity porn, but, you know, I don't need to.
But you know what? The thing I want to say, though, is you're right. When, for example, when celebrities and politicians meddle with men, it's never publicized, really. And same with the guy who meddles with women and men. What's his name? The girls and the guys. You know, he has his own show, House of Cards.
Oh,
Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
He was meddling with men, too, in D.C.
Well, he's been meddling with men for quite some time.
The only kinds of stories that come out are just about him with girls.
Hmm.
So he must pay them, or I don't fucking know.
Oh, there are plenty of stories. You just got to look. There are plenty of stories with him and men. All right, well, we're not going to bash on anybody else anymore.
Well, it goes back through history, James Buchanan. Like
you said in the last couple episodes back, our first gay president
was James Buchanan.
Was James Buchanan.
Really? I didn't think...
All signs point to
he had a very large
rainbow
he
flag.
He had a very special relationship with, what was it, the governor of Alabama, I believe?
The governor of Alabama.
Hey, what was her name? The old...
they had a...
Roosevelt's wife.
Pilot. Roosevelt's wife was a very... She was a lesbian.
Oh, Eleanor?
She was a lesbian. Eleanor and
Eleanor's lover lived in the White House while Franklin's lover was in the White House. And they they worked it out. Everybody they were all happy. Everybody was happy.
Well, they have orgies with men and women or something.
What? I think Amelia Earhart. Amelia Earhart and
the one who got
Eleanor
lost?
Roosevelt went out on a beautiful evening together. They had a lovely time.
I bet.
Amelia. And how many? Do you know how many times Amelia Earhart slept with her husband? Fucking zero. Her and Mrs. Roosevelt had a great time that night.
Oh, yes. I bet.
One of those historical things that is well
documented.
I feel
like they went skinny dipping and then.
I mean, there's a reason why.
Scissored softly in the moonlight.
There's a reason why states like Louisiana will always, you know, try to oppress gay people because they want to do it all the time anyway.
This is true.
I don't know about that. You got to go to New Orleans, man. They all do not oppress anything down there.
All right, guys. Well, that was the Darker Side movie review.
I give it a 5 out of 5.
Did you do the ratings yet?
I give it a 10 out of 10.
I would say 9 out of 10.
I can't rate it.
I would
a give 5 it, out of 5 or so, 10 out of 10.
I would give it 10 out of 10. I'd 5 give it out 10 of 5, 10 20 out of 20.
Fuck yeah.
10 out of 10, like all day long, from the entire spectrum of reasons. Like, it is such a good film.
It's well filmed. It's funny. It's a real story. It does justice. It doesn't victim blame. I love it.
And
I,
if you grew up in the 90s, it is, you understand what they're doing with this film.
Oh, and the soundtrack is killer. Oh, you put that soundtrack in your car and you go on a road trip, you're going to have a great time.
So good.
Oh, my God.
Don't judge a book.
Yeah.
That's what I'm for.
I love
words.
That, David.
Don't judge a book, man.
I love that.
Don't judge a book. What do you got for four words, Rachel?
Never break the chain.
Never break the chain.
I like that.
Never break the chain. Forrest, I didn't watch it.
Yeah.
All right.
I
Johnny,
didn't watch this.
Herman, what do you got?
I'd party with Tanya.
I'd party with Tanya.
I fucking love that dude.
I would party with her too. Absolutely.
She's my kind of girl, man. I mean, she's self-made, a little bit crazy. I love that shit.
Yeah,
all right, guys. Well, that was the Darker Side movie review. We are going to get into diving deeper into the Darker Side.
Fuck yeah.
Dr. Kevorkian, part 2. Herman is going to conclude our 2-part series on Dr. Kevorkian.
Fuck yeah.
This is the end. My only friend, the end.
Mm-hmm.
So when last we left off, we were talking a little bit about Dr. Kevorkian's history, so it merits sort of a review. So let's go back a little bit in the timeline.
Yes.
Back in 1990, on June 4th, Janet Adkins, who is a 54-year-old Portland, Oregon woman with Alzheimer's disease, used Dr. Kevorkian's suicide machine.
What did he call it?
Suicide machine?
Thanatron.
Thanatron. From Thanos. Thano?
Wow.
I believe so.
I think it's from the root Thanos, though.
Ooh, I love Thanos.
I forgot what I said it meant. Thanos. I don't have my notes.
Death machine.
Me.
Thanos. Thanatron. Death machine.
We ride through mansions of glory and suicide machines.
I have a weed bag with Thanos on it.
Wonder who you got that from.
I got some weed, man. So anyway, Dr. Kevorkian was present at her death. On June 8th, the Oakland County Circuit Court judge in Michigan enjoined Kevorkian from aiding in any suicides. On June 12th, the district court judge, Gerald McNally, dismisses the murder charges against Kevorkian in the death of Janet Adkins. So flash forward, Dr. Kevorkian had a couple of trials in the early 90s, 1991, and in 1992, on July 21st, the Oakland County Circuit Court Judge David Breck dismissed charges against Kevorkian for the deaths of two individuals.
Why?
Because they had no proof.
There was no law against
it. He didn't kill them.
Ugh.
They killed themselves.
They pushed their own buttons. Incensed, the Michigan legislature said no more. In December 1992, as some members sang Hit the Road Jack, they passed a law banning assisted suicide.
You watch the video of that Hit the Road Jack, it's just so ridiculous.
No more.
It's crazy. I mean, they kept trying the guy. And he kept winning because there was no legal precedent. They tried to cut one, and
he
it was...
He set every legal precedent it was, in this regards.
It was such a mess, they had no idea what to do with him.
Wow.
So they made it a felony punishable by up to 4 years in prison. The tack didn't work. Lawmakers cocked up the bill so badly that the Michigan House Judiciary Council warned that it was bound to be declared unconstitutional. And in 1993, it was determined to be such. On a Sunday morning in May 1993, the cancer-ravaged body of Ron Manser was found alone in his Detroit real estate office with a tank of carbon monoxide and Dr. Jack Kevorkian close by. Quote, unless you have an open admission or a witness, it's not easy as you might think to prosecute somebody for assisting in suicide, said John D. O'Hare. State Senator John Kelly, during this process, noted that Kevorkian has the psychology of a serial killer. When asked about this, Dr. Kevorkian said, I sure am. I polished off a box of Cheerios this morning.
And I know a thing or two about killing off a box of cereal myself.
I heard that. On January 27th, a circuit court judge dismissed any charges against Dr. Kevorkian in his latest two suicide deaths. This is important because this is the fifth lower court judge in Michigan to rule that assisted suicide was a constitutional right.
Well, I don't see him as a serial killer. I really don't. I don't see him with the same mentality. I see him as a person who understands personal liberties and rights. Yeah. If you don't want to fucking suffer anymore, then you have the right to end that life. It's just like a woman who wants to go into a clinic and wants to abort the baby in her, that she has the right to do that.
I'm very pro-option.
You also have the right to take your life if you want, if you're suffering.
I'm very pro-option.
Suicide is a horrible thing. But if you're in like stage four, whatever, or this or that, or you just, your entire existence is suffering.
It's common.
Right to life. I have the right to life.
It's about quality of life over quantity for a lot of these people. And that's exactly, yeah. If I get a terminal illness, just let me do it on my own.
I've met some LGBT that have AIDS, and they say, like, years ago the medication was so bad they wanted to kill themselves.
Yeah, I can only imagine to, like, just, like, every day is a struggle, a suffer. I couldn't imagine, actually. It's like, no.
Yeah. No.
So far I've been blessed, like the rest of us. Where
hell yeah.
These haven't been an issue, but when it comes to it, I feel like I do have the right to do what I choose.
I agree.
I mean, wolves will walk out into the woods.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. If being alive is worse than being dead.
Any type of animal like that will, like a bee or any animal where they see, well, I'm going to bring down the pack, then I got an elephant, an antelope, or, you know, they're the ones that they let run behind.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that they let the ones struggling to keep up with the pack are the ones that are going to get eaten by the predators. And
yeah.
Why fucking put that strain on your pack if you take your life, you know? Whatever.
I don't know.
As long as everybody involved is okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I...
then that's the politics of it and the religion
and
of it.
We will get to that with his final trial.
I hate to bring this up, but let's be real. I mean, we've all been in grade school. I've thought of suicide many times. I mean, even in the last couple of years, I might have thought of it once.
It's a regular thing.
Maybe in 2016 during a certain time.
Some people just think of it and some people don't, Forrest.
Psychiatrists call it the non-self. That moment when you think about just what would happen if I just turned my car into that bridge embankment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get like that once in a while.
That's the non-self.
Mm-hmm.
You got to rise above that thing.
Yeah. I do.
Sometimes they can't and sometimes we do. Most times, hopefully most times.
Depression's a hell of a drug. I mean,
I'm a flip-flopper depressor.
It's because you're manic, dude.
I guess so. I know.
Kevorkian.
So from 1995 to 1997, Dr. Kevorkian continues to assist in numerous suicides. And on June 26, 1997, the U.S. Supreme Court rules unanimously that state governments have the right to outlaw doctor-assisted suicide.
It's bad. It's bad.
Shouldn't
be allowed.
So, states' rights.
States'
true.
Rights.
I mean, if you want to go that route.
These United States can choose. That's so, in true. 1998, Kevorkian, on March 14th, assists his 100th patient in their suicide. A videotape of Kevorkian assisting the suicide of Thomas Uke is shown on 60 Minutes. Once again, Kevorkian is charged by the state of Michigan with first-degree murder. The charges revolve around the fact that he delivered a controlled substance to Uke without a license to practice medicine. Uke's case was different. It was this time that Kevorkian injected the deadly drugs. While videotaping himself doing it.
And then airing it on national television.
Correct, yeah. 60 minutes. He then gave the tape to CBS, who broadcasted it to a national audience. You can find that at YouTube, by the way. I did watch it before the show.
Well, it's in that movie, too. What's the name of that
movie? You Don't Know Jack.
You Don't Know Jack. There's a whole scene in that movie where it turns. And you're like, God damn, Jack. Why'd you do that?
Mm-hmm.
That one thing.
So Kevorkian was naturally arrested at this point. And he said famously that he was going to fight this. And he was fighting for, quote, I'm fighting for need, for me. I'm going to be 71 years old, and you don't know what'll happen when you get older. I would like to preserve my right to die the way I want to die, especially if I am suffering.
Yeah, totally, man.
So the family of Thomas Uke was very supportive of Dr. Kevorkian's method of...
Well, they knew their son. They knew his
it was torment. It was an older man. He was 52 years old.
So his kids and wife, etc.
Yeah, the whole family was there. I mean, the man was, if you watch the tape, he was very visibly ill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they were supportive of his choice. And they were supportive of Jack Kevorkian. So when this went to court, Judge Jessica Cooper denied Kevorkian a motion to allow the relatives of Uke to testify.
Dude, that is so
that
bullshit.
The death was actually a mercy killing.
Because who knows better than the state about how your fucking family members feel, right? I mean, seriously. Think about it. Who knows better than the state? Nobody. Nobody does.
So prior to the trial... Kevorkian said, I should walk up to the bench, just like the movie Gandhi, and say, I have violated your law, and if you have any respect for your system, you will give me the harshest penalty possible. See, it was Kevorkian who wanted, he wanted to be tried for murder. He wanted them to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
He basically wanted to be a martyr, even though he said he didn't. So here's
What martyr doesn't really want to be a martyr? I mean, deep down in their soul, they're dying for their purpose. They're dying for their soul. They're dying for their what they are. They all become martyrs, dude, whether they want or not.
So let's talk about how this case began. You guys ready for this?
Oh, here we go. Hell yeah.
So here's how prosecutors began the murder case by playing jurors the videotape showing Kevorkian's involvement in Uke's death. The tape was shown to jurors. There was Kevorkian with a sick man, Thomas Uke, who was lying in an armchair in what appeared to be his home. And this is my description. I watched the video myself. I wanted nobody else's description. The golden glow of an iridescent lamp illuminates the suffering man. Uke had Lou Gehrig's disease, and by all accounts, wanted to end his life prior to the disease killing him.
It's a fucking tough disease, dude.
It is. Yeah.
You watch anybody go through it, it's so tough.
It was to the point where Kevorkian actually assisted Uke in signing the consent form that Kevorkian required for the doctor to administer, you know, his death, basically. Right. So Kevorkian repeatedly asked Uke, and this was in the tape, Tom, do you want to do this? Do you want to do this? And Uke, with the heavy speech of a deeply ill man, said yes, and nods in affirmation. The doctor noted later during the signing that, quote, it's quicker. Kevorkian then hooked up Uke to an EKG and said, now I'm going to put you on a cardiogram so that we know when your heart has stopped, okay? And then Dr. Death injects muscle relaxants into Uke's arm, and he stops breathing. Dr. Kevorkian starts saying, sleepy time? Tom, are you asleep? Tom, are you asleep? And the video ends. Uke died on September 17th, approximately 3 weeks after the Michigan enacted a law making assisted suicide a felony, punishable by up to 5 years in prison.
Just wow.
Yeah. No, it's chilling. If you watch this video, and the link's going to be there. I sent it to Forrest. If you watch this video, it's chilling. Because what you see is you see a man in his house making his decision on how he wants his life to end. And you see another man assisting him in that decision, and you see nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
You see these things all over the Facebooks, all over the news, and all over the whatever of these stories, like in Britain with that little boy. The parents, you know, they wanted to do what they wanted to do, but the state stepped in. And then you get these situations where these people literally do not. They suffer so much.
Yeah.
The state steps in.
There was a case of a man who forcibly starved himself to death because doctors couldn't do anything
about
to help
starvation.
Him. Yeah. It took 10 days for him. He died by suicide on his own terms.
Without eating?
But by doing it via starving.
No food.
That must have been at least a little painful, right?
I mean, that's a lot painful.
That's a lot painful.
Your body's 10 days. Your body wants you to eat.
Yeah, just think about all that.
But to that man, death was more important. Ending
suffering.
His suffering was more important.
He was smiling.
Because he was never going to have a life worth living.
Quality over quantity.
Life is a very important thing.
I mean, to me, for other people, it sounds like a very bittersweet moment before you end it. I mean, not to me, though, but...
It's intense. Honestly, the link's in there. If you watch it, it is intense.
Yeah. I bet.
It was haunting. I had a hard time after that. I basically just...
Looked at life like the biggest gift in the world. And
I did. Well, a little bit.
You went to the brighter side of life.
I did go to the brighter side.
We just dipped in pretty far.
I also cocked
from
up
from one end to
the
other, yes.
Yeah. On March 26, 1999, the jury found Dr. Kevorkian guilty of second-degree murder.
Wow.
He was given a sentence of 10 to 25 years, rather than first-degree murder, which would have given him a life sentence.
He did. He did his time.
But wait, he assisted in suicide, right?
Correct.
Pretty much.
But it wasn't first degree murder, so it was assisted suicide.
So what they hang on
because
and
they had literally made the legislation weeks before this, so that's why the wording is perfect.
What they hang on, and I read the case. What they hang on is the fact that in all the other scenarios, the person pushed the button or fired up the canister with the CO2 or whatever to end their life.
Canister, like...
It was a CO2 canister.
Gas canisters,
a gas canister.
Carbon monoxide.
Okay.
Yeah.
Carbon monoxide, which would be just CO. So, sorry, chemists. but yeah, in every other situation, the person made that choice. Like, they were able to push the button, but if you look at Uke, he was not in that he
couldn't physically
he couldn't sign his name
move at all or he right. could talk everyone you know
so at the end of his trial Dr. Kevorkian said my intent was to carry out my duty as a doctor to end their suffering.
I understand him.
Unfortunately, that entitled in their cases the ending of life.
Mm-hmm.
So the Hemlock Society's chief proponent doctor on assisted suicide said, "The verdict is not about Dr. Kevorkian and the videotape. The verdict is about the contempt that the government has for people like Thomas Uke and other patients who are suffering painful deaths every day. The verdict is about the government's refusal to give dying patients and their families reasonable choices at the end of life."
Yeah.
It sounds horrible, but you can't make money off of dead people.
You can't sell products to dead people.
It's sad.
You can't sell medical services that cost thousands upon thousands of dollars every day that suffering person sits in a fucking hospital bed. Yeah. Those people make bank, dude. CEOs make money off of that every day.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
You got to think about that shit, dude.
There's a reason why I don't take antidepressants. I just smoke weed.
Smoke weed every day.
Hell yeah.
La da 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 da. So in 2007,
double G. Sorry.
No worries.
I went with it.
So in 2007, Kevorkian is released on June 1st after serving 8 years of his 10 to 25 year prison sentence.
For him, man, he did his time.
He was released on good behavior, wasn't he?
He was actually.
So he wasn't.
Loved him in prison.
He wasn't killed in prison.
No. He taught people. He did
That's
this
good,
and that. He had a good time in prison.
I'm gonna misquote.
It's prison, but he did it good.
I'm definitely gonna misquote Jack Kevorkian. But he said, "You do crossword puzzles till you get bored. You do Sudoku until you get bored, and then you wait." I think was his description. And that's wrong, but it's pretty close.
Oh my god, he really said that. Wow.
Yeah. So in 2007, he's released. In 2008, on Monday, March 24th, Kevorkian announces his run for U.S. Congress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude. I remember that.
Really?
Yeah. He was defeated, but he got enough signatures.
That's awesome. I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's Barack Obama, right? 2008?
Correct.
So in 2011... Jack Kevorkian died at 83 of complications of liver cancer and pneumonia.
It also stemmed back to a sexually transmitted disease.
Ooh.
I think it was
Hep C that he acquired back in the day when he was doing his blood transfusion
from the dead
body thing that he did back in the Vietnam War when he was doing his residency. So complications of Hep C from those things that he was doing is what caused
that kind of
stuff. It caused him to die at the young age of 83.
Imagine living to 83, but you have Hep C the whole time. You know, 40, 50 years of that 83 life.
I can't imagine that kind of stuff gives me the heebie-jeebies.
So the saddest part, really, to me, was at the time of his own death, the issues that he fought for were still unresolved.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And now it's 2008. When did he die?
2011.
Wow. We're 2018. We still have not resolved those things.
How many states?
Within humanity.
How many states have assisted suicide legal, technically?
I think there's only one.
It's Oregon, isn't it?
Oregon, mm-hmm. I think, is the only one there's in the nation right now. There's only one.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and you actually have the right to death if you want. Other than that, the rest of the nation is... You know.
So is that why there's like a documentary? I think I saw a commercial for it about people who go to the state to kill themselves.
Yeah,
but you absolutely. Have to be a resident for 6 months, so it's like they'll pack up their families.
I actually just listened to a podcast there. Earlier it's like a little about vacation divorce.
Right before death.
Divorce was like the same topic of you know in the I hate late to say 1800s.
It like that. Oh,
good Lord.
Wow.
Anything else to say about Dr. Death, man? Other than the fact that we haven't really moved on as a society yet.
We haven't. So I know some people are into numbers. I never got clear numbers. I have CNN and CBS and all the big broadcasting networks.
I said
it was about 100, but other sources said that by the time he was done, he assisted in more than 130 suicides.
Yeah, actually, wow. I've read that in multiple sources mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? You know, whatever, that's man. Awesome. He helped. He was a good man.
Is there a movie about him?
Yeah.
You Don't Know Jack. It's on HBO.
You don't
starring Al Pacino and Susan Sarandon and John Goodman.
It's so good.
It is very... So you have to watch it.
Wow.
You have a lot of homework to do for us.
I do.
You have a lot of movies to watch. Get on it.
A lot of movies.
All right, John, well, thank you so much for diving us deeper into Dr. Kevorkian Part 2.
I kind of feel like that was the depressing side.
It really was, because
it was
everything gained, but nothing learned.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Nobody came out of that on top, and I think that's my problem.
No, and the beauty and the horrible thing about this country is everybody...
you might as well just include it.
All right, guys, well, let's... get to our next segment. The next segment here is the Darker Side Music Showcase. Today, we are doing Hip Hop Edition.
Hell yeah.
Goody LaPue, Chain Ain't Tucked is the name of the song. And Forrest, you know this gentleman, correct?
Yes.
All right.
Him and I go back a bit.
You go back.
I've shot some music videos with him and also another producer in Worcester.
Cool. All right, well, it says Goody LaPue is an artist from Worcester, Massachusetts. 508 all day. What?
Hell yeah. I like Worcester.
Represent.
He's been in the game since 2008.
Fuck yeah, 10 years, right?
And has a lot of music and plenty more always in the works. This is the Darker Side Music Review, Hip Hop Edition. Goody LaPue, Chain Ain't Tucked.
Yeah. Dragon. Yeah.
the scene, what? I'm a different person when I'm sipping on this liquor. I'ma say more than I wanna, so I'll smoke my marijuana. Chain ain't tucked, I ain't worried about a sucker. I'ma put some dollars in the bank, motherfucker. I'm a different person when I'm sipping on this liquor. I'ma say more than I wanna, so I'll smoke my marijuana. Chain ain't tucked, I ain't worried about a sucker. I'ma put some dollars in the bank, motherfucker. I'm a different person when I'm sipping on this liquor. I'ma say more than I wanna, smoke my marijuana. Chain ain't tucked, I ain't worried about a sucker. I'ma put some dollars in the bank, motherfucker. I'm a different person when I'm sipping on this liquor. I'ma say more than I wanna, smoke my marijuana. Chain ain't tucked, I ain't worried about a sucker. I'ma put some dollars in the bank, motherfucker. If I ain't smoking something, bet you see me rolling up. Mobbing deep in the whip with the windows rolled up. Hot box in the coupe, only really room for two. Diamonds clear like Fiji water, you can see right through. Yeah, she say hit the jeweler, she want me to buy two. Baby, you know how I do, one for me and one for you. She get exactly what she wanted, she ain't even gotta ask. Cause she know I got the cash and we living life fast. Always got the loud, they call me Goody LaPew. And I'm only getting high just to get a better view. Made a promise to my mama, told her I'ma try my hardest. Even if I never get to making as an artist. Nah, I ain't scared of nothing, on my chain ain't tucked. And we got a couple things that go bang in the truck. Gotta go against me, then I guess you out of luck. And we stack this money up like we hit the mega bucks.
I don't even know what a chain is, and I don't know why it's not tucked in.
It's pretty awesome.
But damn, that was good. it was smooth. I like the smoothness.
It's just...
It was buttery. It was like a nice whipped topping on top of a cappuccino, said the white man.
Nice.
There was a lot of hook there.
It takes me... The song really takes me back to, like... I don't know.
Hook brings him back, I think, is what he's saying.
it takes me back to how, like, I don't know, the rap music used to be, like, 10 years ago. You guys might not have thought the rap music 10 years ago was great, but I thought it was great.
Was the rap music that happened after 2001?
I wanted to drink a lot of Sprite, a little bit of codeine.
I'm thinking Young Money. Like, I love Young Money.
Rachel said that, what'd you say? It would be good on a really badass system.
Bumping. Yes.
Fuck yeah.
Like, I want to blast it in my sweet minivan with my windows down, going grocery shopping.
It's awesome.
Rolling a big old
blunt rides.
Big old hog's leg. as they call it.
David, I was like jamming out to the song within like the first 2 minutes. I called you. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Forrest. Goody LePue, man.
Thank Check you, him Goody out. LePue.
Fucking Worcester, Mass. You find him on all the social medias.
Oh, yeah, Facebook.
It should be Goody LePue. And again, that is the Darker Side Music Review Hip Hop Edition, Goody LePue.
Hell yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thank you very much for coming back to the Darker Side.
Thank you.
I am David Pottle, and you can find me on all the shits. Rachel, what do you got to say?
I am Rachel Pottle, wife of David. Oh. You can find me on Snapchat, DRP49532.
Nice. I'm Forrest Smith, also. I also am the manager of Forrest Films. We also are on my company, and this company is on Facebook, Twitter. We're on, you know, all the great stuff, Podbean, Patreon. We're on, Google Play Music, YouTube. We're on iTunes podcasts, all the good stuff. You can find us all there, Facebook, all that good stuff. Please rate us, you know, iTunes, Google Play Music, Patreon, Podbean. Please, we love reviews. We want them. And anything else you'd like to give us?
Yeah, send Herman. Us some shit. I want to read some listener podcast.
DarkSidePodcast@gmail.com.
Music or anything else?
Herman, what do you got, bro?
Yo, I'm HermanBrow@gmail.com. That's HERRMANN. Brow, like the German word for brew. You can find me at Instagram at that same handle. You can send me an email at Gmail, evidently. And if you hashtag my bike in front of stuff, you will see my motorcycle in front of stuff. And
Hell yeah.
Send me yours. I'll show you mine if you show me yours.
Hell yeah. That's mine.
No Guys, dick pics.
Thank you, as always, and with all of our love and from the bottom of our hearts.
And penises.
And from the hearts of our bottoms.
Exactly.
Happy Pride, everybody.
Especially the cockles.
The cockle
Thank you for listening
region.
To us. Thank you.
Thank you.
For downloading us. Thank you for supporting
Have
us.
Have a great night.
We love you all.
Have this is the Darker Side Podcast.
Happy Pride.
Podcast.
Podcast.
Podcast is the reason, is the season of the podcast of the Darker Side. Yeah, love me.
Hey guys, this is Forrest with the Darker Side Podcast. I just thought, because it is Pride Month, to surprise you guys with just a quick little clip as an outro. Instead of our normal creepy alienscape, I'm going to include a little bit of a nice pride ending, prideful ending. All right, thanks guys, love you all.
Every day just feels like a war. And I walk around so mad at the world, but I'm really just fighting with myself. I don't want to fight anymore. I'm just too tired. Like a small boat, I have to just be me. On the ocean,
sending big waves. I'm gay.
I'm gay, and Austin is too.
But I am gay.
I'm gay. I'm gay.
Why was it necessary for you to come out, tell the public? Why was it necessary for the character to do so?
Because it's okay. Because it is okay.